Resolution 26-020, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of Council at
6:35
p.m. All in question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back at open session, so we'll do a roll call once again.
Councilor Morley Haskell.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Councilor Mike Kekkonen.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Morton. Have Resolution 26-021, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskell. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held on January 27, 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 26-022, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporate Quote, not for online. Accept all of the
closed session. We did.
So again, Resolution 26-022, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the deputation from an Executive Director, Chris McDonald, of the Prairie Sound Area Chamber of Commerce for information purposes. Further, that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar approved the financial contribution request in the amount of $1,200 for the 2026 year. Chris is online, and even before you speak, looks like you've got the money, but your presentation to me.
Thank you very much.
It's all yours.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Moore. I'm sorry I couldn't make it in person this year. I'm down in Toronto at a destination in Ontario, Northern Marketing Committee meeting. So, my regards for having me here. I'll join you online. And I'll do my deputation if you don't mind.
Municipality McKellar, Mayor, Council, and staff, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to share an update on the work of the Prairie Sound Area Chamber of Commerce over the past year and our plans as we move into 2026. For more than 127 years, the Prairie Sound Area Chamber of Commerce has been a driving force for business support, consulting, and economic development across the West Prairie Sound District. We are proud to represent a diverse region that stretches from Point of Barrel in the north, MacTier in the south, and Magnetowan to the east. Our work extends well beyond our membership, supporting local organizations, not-for-profits, and even the general public with the shared goal of fostering a stronger, more connected business community. Over the past year, the Chamber has continued to strengthen its position on key business resource as a key business resource for both new and established entrepreneurs. We've guided countless individuals toward funding and grant opportunities, connected them with professional development workshops, and provided hands-on support for marketing, advertising, and social media management. Our staff have worked directly with members to create a custom promotional campaigns, improve their digital presence, and build the skills necessary to remain competitive in a changing market. We are also proud to continue offering group insurance benefits through the Chamber plan and to facilitate networking opportunities that encourage collaboration and shared success. Beyond day-to-day business services, we continue to act as a bridge between local businesses and government, helping to advocate for fair policy and supporting our members as they navigate challenges in staffing, housing, and regulation. This past year, our chamber took major steps in revitalizing our outreach and engagement. Our Business of the Week program has become one of our most popular initiatives, celebrating local success stories and shining a spotlight on the incredible variety of businesses that make up our community. The Shop Local and Work Local programs have also grown significantly, helping to connect job seekers with local employers while addressing the ongoing need for staff housing and seasonal accommodations. Another important focus this year has been collaboration. The Chamber has continued to work closely with our municipal partners, business leaders, and local organizations to develop creative solutions for economic development and community growth. We regularly meet with municipal councils and maintain an active advisory board made up of local representatives who provide invaluable insight and updates from their communities. This partnership-based approach ensures that the voice of business remains part of every major local discussion and decision. Internally, the Chamber's rebuilding process has produced exceptional results. We now have nearly 290 active members, and our newsletter subscribers continues to grow past 630. Our social media reach is stronger than ever, with over 4,000 Facebook followers, over 1,300 on Instagram, 750 on LinkedIn, and more than 7,000 members in our Parry Sound and Area Business Marketplace Facebook page. These digital tools have become vital platforms for connecting, sharing opportunities, and celebrating success stories from across the region. Our monthly newsletter remains one of the most valued resources for our members and subscribers, providing up-to-date information on grants, funding programs, training opportunities, and chamber events. It also serves as a space to welcome new members, highlight milestones, and promote the sense of community that defines the Parry Sound area. Behind the scenes, we made important strides towards digital modernization. We've upgraded our website, improved our communication systems, and created new marketing templates and resources that allow our members to promote themselves more effectively. These efforts are all part of a broader goal to ensure the local business have access to the same tools and advantages as those in larger urban centers. As a not-for-profit organization, the Chamber operates entirely on membership dues, affinity programs, municipal contributions, and a couple of fundraising events during the year. We are guided by a working board of directors and supported by two in-office staff members who manage our day-to-day operations, community events, and advocacy initiatives. Together, this small but committed team has been able to achieve a level of impact that we are very proud of, and we are deeply grateful for the support of our municipal partners that make this possible. Looking ahead to 2026, and as we approach our 128th year, we are excited about what lies ahead. The Chamber is entering a new phase of innovation and modernization. One of our key focuses will be the integration of artificial intelligence tools to enhance business efficiency, communication, and marketing support for our members. We plan to host a new AI learning series, offering workshops and demonstrations to help local businesses understand and apply emerging technologies in practical, cost-effective ways. We are also expanding our industry-specific networking events, beginning with sessions tailored to the trades and construction sectors. These targeted gatherings will help address the unique challenges facing local trades professionals, builders, and suppliers, creating opportunities for collaboration, workforce development, and partnership within these high-demand industries. At the same time, we recognize that our local business community continues to face external economic pressures. In 2026, the Chamber will be paying close attention to the evolving landscape of trade tariffs and the challenges they pose to local businesses, particularly those in manufacturing, supply, and the retail sectors. Our advocacy work will focus on helping members navigate these impacts, access available supports, and strengthen their resilience in an uncertain trade environment. In addition, we'll continue to strengthen our partnerships with local schools, employment agencies, and housing providers to support workforce attraction and retention. We'll also be reintroducing more in-person learning sessions, roundtables, and collaborative business forums designed to connect local employers, foster innovation, and promote regional economic growth. To continue this important work, we are requesting a financial contribution this coming year. This support will allow us to maintain our current level of service, continue our advocacy efforts, and build on the progress we've made in strengthening our local economy. The contribution aligns with the funding formula we developed to ensure equitable support from across the municipalities that we serve. We believe this investment will continue to yield a strong return for our region by attracting new businesses, retaining existing ones, and ensuring that Parry Sound remains a vibrant hub for innovation, tourism, and economic opportunity. On behalf of the Board of Directors, our staff, and our members, I want to thank you for your continued partnership and support. Together, we've made progress, and with your help, we look forward to an even stronger 2026 for our business community and the Parry Sound area as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Certainly impressed with what the Chamber is doing. I mean, all the advancements being made. I just wish that McKellar had more people belonging to the Chamber, but as suppose that's all we can do is just keep putting it out there and hope that they can see the advantages of joining. You seem to
absolutely
be getting,
yeah.
You seem to be getting new businesses on a regular basis, and
we do, yes. Yeah, we're continuing to grow, which is good. That's the direction we want to go for sure.
Yeah. Other comments from council?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, yeah, I think you're doing a wonderful job, Chris. I get the email blasts all the time, and I see one McKellar business in the last week has got lots of attention. So, yeah, it's great to see. Like, it's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Councilor Kacken?
The same thing. Thank you for sending those email blasts, because that really keeps us up to date on the wide variety of businesses that belong to the chamber. And I think it wasn't long ago that the chamber was really struggling. You know, I remember probably around 2014 time period, around that time period. So what the members and everyone that participates, your employees, have done an amazing job. So I think it's all the different opportunities that you provide and information regarding funding opportunities, etc., is really useful, I think, to the businesses. So thank you.
Thank you.
Comments from council? Well, thanks very much. And I'm going to, again, I know you're quite busy, but thank you for coming in person, which you regularly do. But this is just as good, so we appreciate that you found the time for us.
That's great. And I hope to see you in person next year. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Great. Thanks again. So I should have voted, called a vote on this before, but I'll call a vote for council. All those in favor? None opposed? Gary? So I guess the 1200 is secure.
That's excellent news. Thank you very much, Council Mayor.
Thank you. On to 11.2, we have resolution 26-023, moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Zulai. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the deputation from Alan Walker, Executive Director, West Prairie Sound Ontario Health Team, for information purposes. We'll call for the vote first of all before she actually presents. All questions for council, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Ellen, if you wish to unmute, you should be able to also share your screen.
Fantastic. Share here, let me know when you can see it. How's that?
Now. Yes, thank you.
Okay, fantastic. So I'll get started here, but can't see everyone on the screen as I'm presenting here, so if you have any questions as I'm going through, please don't hesitate to just stop me and get me to pause and I'll answer those questions. So before I get going, I wanted just to say thank you to Mayor and Council for giving me a few minutes this evening. I appreciate the opportunity to come in and to speak to you, and you know, this is going to be a little bit shorter than some of the council meetings I've done. I did share the primary care network with you in advance, and I'm hopeful that you'll be able to just take a look at that. Hopefully, you've either seen it before now, or that you're able to take a look at it afterwards. But that gives us some time for some questions at the end, if you have any. So my name is Ellen Walker, and I am the Executive Director for the West Prairie Sound Ontario Health Team. And while I formally stepped into this role just over a year ago now, I have been involved in the development of the OHT for several years through its early development and the application phases. And this past year has been very fast-paced and full of learning, but it has also been very, very energizing. And it's I think what stood out the most for me is just this genuine passion that our healthcare teams have in this region and our community members and the many, many people who have been working toward this meaningful change for a long time and often while balancing, you know, competing demands. And I think it's truly an honor to be in the position that I'm in right now to help guide that work alongside so many dedicated partners, many of whom I'm sure we've worked with over the years as well. So I've been working here in West Prairie Sound now for just over a decade in healthcare, and one of the things that has always been very, very clear to me is that this region knows how to show up for one another. So whether it's organizations partnering to build, you know, more integrated services or the many, many volunteers stepping forward in times of need, there is this very deep commitment to community that we have here, and that continues to inspire the progress that we're seeing here within the OHG and inspire us to continue to move forward in ways that really matter for the community. So I am very excited for what lies ahead. We have a rare opportunity to shape healthcare and health system that really reflects the strengths and the realities and the aspirations really of the people who live across these 6,000 square kilometers. It's a big region, and this kind of system transformation, I think it really is a once in a generation opportunity, and I believe that we have the people and the relationships and the community spirit to make that possible. And so on a personal note, this isn't just work, this isn't just where I work, it's also my home. My family and I, we live in Seguin, and I feel incredibly fortunate to be raising my daughters, Meredith and Audrey, with my husband in a place defined by lakes and forests and vibrant communities, from Wata and Mooster Point all the way up to Port Loring and Dokis and everywhere in between. And so like many of you, I often feel this very deep sense of gratitude to live and to work and to get to play here. And a few weekends ago, my parents came up to visit from Eastern Ontario and simply joined in on our usual routine, which involved coaching my daughter's hockey and jackrabbits at Georgia Nordic, and my girls racing in the very first cross-country ski race at the Sounder Ski Tour. And they couldn't stop talking about how full things were and how neat it was that we could get outside and do these things. And my husband and I were laughing because that's just what we do. That's just a sort of normal piece of our life here. And so I think it really is shaping, who my children are becoming, and I think it shapes all of us. And this really continues to remind me why this work that we're doing is so important. Our healthcare system is deeply personal, and it should be personal for all of us. It's where my in-laws will be aging here locally. It's where our children will need support as they grow, and something that all of us will rely on at different stages in life. So it's important that we get it right, and it's important that we work together to get it right. So I believe wholeheartedly in the people and the communities that make West Spirit sound as great as it is, and I'm just so grateful to be doing this work alongside all of you. And so why does West Spirit Sound Ontario Health Team exist? And this is a question that we get often. And so I like to think of it, that question as sort of asking us what our heartbeat is. And so Simon Sinek, whose work many of you likely know through his book Start With Why, reminds us that great leaders and organizations, that we inspire action by explaining what we do or how we do it. We obviously are doing that for accountability reasons as well, but by clearly communicating the why we exist. And so the why is that heartbeat. It's the driving force, and it's the foundation that's going to sustain any kind of meaningful action that we're looking at. And so at its core, the Westbury Sound Ontario Health Team exists to build a healthier and more connected and a more equitable Westbury Sound community. And it's not just a vision statement on paper, we do have that now as well, but it is a call to action, and it's a a declaration to the people that we care for and the colleagues that we work alongside in the future that we're determined to make. It's a commitment to those people. And so our why is deeply rooted in the realities of this community. You will often hear us say, we are not the South, and we are not Sudbury, and we're not even Muskoka. We are West Perry Sound. And that belief is grounded in decades of shared experiences and strong relationships and a proven track record of success. And all of that is rooted in one essential truth, and that's that we know our communities best. And so the reality is that healthcare system is struggling. Patients are far too often feeling like they're lost in a fragmented system. Caregivers who are looking after loved ones at home are often feeling overwhelmed, and providers are being stretched too thin. But I think that collectively, we also see something else, and that's extraordinary potential. And our community is resilient, and we are innovative, and we have a long history of solving very complex problems together. And so now, we've worked for years to get this OHT. We now have this OHT, and we have an opportunity to transform our system to be deeply rooted in that dignity and that respect and that equity. And so it is going to take courage, and I've seen tremendous courage from our community partners in the last year. It requires breaking down silos, building trust, and listening to one another. And one of the really kind of important pieces that we continue to talk about within within the OHG is, looking at curiosity over judgment and trying to make sure that, we are reaching across the table to lift others up too. And most importantly, to listen to the patients, the residents, the clients, the family members, and caregivers who are relying on us to hear their voice. And so trust means putting our collective goals ahead of individual interests, and it means leading with transparency and collaboration to build a better and a more connected system. So when we focus on that why piece, the rest of it kind of falls into place. So this is the quintuple aim, and so our why really aligns as well with this Ontario Health's quintuple aim. And so what we're looking at here is to enhance the experience of care for patients and caregivers, to improve the health of our population, to ensure that our public healthcare system is sustainable for generations to come, to support the well-being of providers, and most critically, to advance equity. And so equity is more than just a policy goal. It's the foundation of all of the work that we do. It cannot be an afterthought. It cannot be a checkbox. And so when we are thinking about the very structure of the OHT, I want you all to be considering what that means. How do we make room at the table? How do we make sure that the smallest voices in the room are there with us? And so I think it's also important to be very, very honest in that we live in Northern Ontario. We live in an environment where healthcare today is very, very hard, and burnout among frontline providers is real and it's heavy, and it can often feel impossible to find the energy to reconnect with our passion for some of this work. And I'm sure that some of you have found that in your own work as well. Let alone finding, a common purpose. And so I think that's actually exactly why we need to have a common purpose. We need to have a common why that's going to drive us and it's going to give us sort of that strength to continue to move forward. And so I've done this exercise with just about every meeting that I've gone to over the last year, at least once, trying to get us all, thinking about that bigger picture and that similar why together. So I want us to imagine together a future for a minute here where, what if no patient in Westbury Sound ever had to retell their story because our system worked as one? And what if no caregiver looking after a loved one at home ever felt alone because they knew that support was always within reach? And what if providers felt valued not just for the care that they're providing, but also as individuals whose well-being also is a priority? And so what if we had a healthcare system that heard not just the loudest voices, but it recognized that the quieter voices carry just as much wisdom as those louder voices, but from different perspectives. And so that's the future that we're all working toward together. And it's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to be easy, but our why will sustain us through every challenge and decision along the way. And so as council, that represents your constituents, you play a really, really crucial role in making this vision a reality. Your leadership can help to foster trust, to guide collaboration, to ensure that we stay focused on the needs of our community. And so I reflect you to, invite you to reflect on your own why. Why are you here? What is the role that you can play in shaping the future of care in West Perry Sound? We're all community members here. And you as individuals who are representing your constituents have a really important piece in that puzzle. So together we have an opportunity to build a system that truly serves every individual in our community, and I hope that this helps to drive us forward and create a healthier and more connected and more equitable future for all. So I'm going to go through just a couple of slides here. I have noticed that these are dated slides, so I am going to send some of these along to you. So these are our core partners. So we've got Belvedere Heights, Westbury Sound Health Center, Lakeland Long-Term Care, Hospice Westbury Sound, Perry Sound Family Health Team, and the Canadian Mental Health Association. Friendly reminder that Westbury Sound Health Center also includes the nurse practitioner-led clinics and partnership with community paramedicine and the paramedic program. In the Health and Social Service Network are organizations that work and advise us. I have noticed a typo here, so that's the piece that I want to just make sure I update. And there's more to the title of that program. So the membership is more than 25 organizations that work with us on co-designing of programs. We also work very closely with Indigenous community partners through a communication network. So Wasauksoak, Dopeis, Henneby, Magneto, Anishinaabe, Oosterpoint, Wata, as well as the Perry Sound Friendship Center. And then most critically, I think, as well, I just wanted to give a very high level on the Primary Care Action Plan. I know you've seen that video, so I won't go into too much detail, but we are looking at working toward 100% attachment to primary care for all people in Ontario by 2029. And then our Ontario Health Team, along with the Ontario Health Teams across the province, have been sort of mandated to lead and align those primary care network efforts to deliver on Ontario's goal of connecting every person to a primary care team. So I'm just going to pause for a second there, make sure I can see everyone on my screen, and see if there's any questions.
Okay, one question. We were there at the Stocky Center, some of us, when Minister Jones came and explained all of this and how it began. I'm just trying to get my head around the logistics, how it actually works. I noticed some of the people that you have on the health team also work at the hospital. I'm not trying to be mercenary. I'm just wondering how the actual remuneration takes place. And I'm just trying to think of if somebody, for instance, was into the emergency room, what role, if any, does the Ontario Health Team have? And do you have an actual location, or you just sort of sharing facilities with other groups?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions there, so I'll see if I can mark them off. And if I don't check off one, let me know, and I can get there. So the way that it works is, so we are essentially a collaboration of the core partners, so those six organizations. So they make up what's called the Collaboration Council. And so that Collaboration Council effectively acts as an operational governance over the work that I do with our team here at the Ontario Health Team. So we do have a physical space. We are at 26 James Street, so we would love for you to come in and stop by and say hello. But here we are, and so we have just onboarded two more staff members today, but we have a team that is operating here, including data analysts. We have folks that are working with us on project management and aspects around integrated care pathways. And so in terms of the remuneration part, so this is kind of a two-part question. So around the TPA, the Transfer Payment Agreement that we receive through Ontario Health, because we are not an incorporated entity, we have to partner with it's called a backbone organization. So what we have done is we've partnered with the Westbury Sound Health Center, who's providing us with the backbone services. So they're providing us with IT support, HR support, so they help us with our recruitment. They also provide us with financial support. So we have a financial officer employed through the hospital who works with us directly in our portfolios. And then we also have support from Heidi Stevenson as the COO of the hospital, who is at this point in time, she's the chair for the Collaboration Council. And her term, I believe, goes for 2 years. And there's a vice chair as well, who is involved with some of that work. But all of the financial budgeting goes through the entire Collaboration Council. It has to be approved by the council. And so the health center is really acting on behalf of the council at their approval and through that voting and governance structure that's in place. In terms of remuneration for actual clinical services, that is not something that we are doing outside of primary care right now. So we are in the roles that we are doing that are clinical are currently directed at primary care around the attachment of patients. So I don't know if you've seen any information around the CareBridge Clinic, for instance. The CareBridge Clinic is something that we are working on closely with the Nurse Practitioner Life Clinic, along with the Paris Sound Family Health Team and community paramedicine as well. Did I get them all? Was there any left?
No, that covered most of them. I'm just interested to gain the logistics. If for instance, you go to see a particular doctor, in what function is that doctor working? I mean, as an employee of the health center or as an employee of Ontario Health Team? Because you have one and the same person and doing that job, but on whose behalf?
So actually, I have neither. So a physician works directly with the Ministry of Health. So Ministry of Health employs them, and they typically bill through OHIP billing. But the physicians work, obviously, as part of the Family Health Team as well. So in primary care, they work as part of Family Health Organizations, which is part of the Family Health Team. And then when they're working in the hospital, there's other funding structures that work there. So directly involved in paying for any of the remuneration for physicians.
Okay,
let me see. Give me a second. I have some slides that I think might help. So go to the next one. Pull this up and I'll do a little share screen. All right. Can you see that okay? This is just from orientation we did today, so it's a little bit.
No, we don't see anything else. Right now.
So essentially, the way that it works is that the Ministry of Health is responsible for these sort of core legislative pieces. Can you see that okay?
Yes.
So there's core legislative pieces that the Ministry of Health is part of, and how that kind of fits in with us. And then when you look at the structure here, so it's Ministry of Health, and then they sort of set like the structure, like around the policy and around the budgeting of where things are going to go, what the overall priorities of the healthcare system are. And Ontario Health is an agency that sets sort of more local priorities. And then the Ontario Health teams have been created as part of Ontario Health that is really hyper-focused on regional aspects. So in Northeast, so this is Northeastern Ontario here, we are part of the Northeastern Ontario Health team, we're part of Ontario Health Northeast. And so for us specifically, our role is around the care coordination, focusing on local needs and the collaboration and accountability for the funding that's being flowed through Ontario Health. So if we just pop through here a little bit, I can show you some of our structure directly. So this is how this works here. So within the structure for the governance structure for the Ontario Health team, so we have Ontario Health flows funding to the Collaboration Council, which is made up of these organizations here. So CMHA, those are those six core partners that we had showed earlier. So there's CMHA, Muskoka, Parry Sound, Lakeland, Parry Sound Family Health Team, Hospice, West Parry Sound Health Center, and Belvedere Heights. Each of those organizations have one vote on the Collaboration Council. And then we are also required to have a primary care council vote, as well as community advisory panel vote. And so those folks, this organization here represents the Collaboration Council. With non-voting advisory from each of these committees that are sort of from the broader community. And so part of this, so this Collaboration Council here is who I report to. So this is me. I report to the Collaboration Council and the OHT staff report to me. Is that clear? Is that a little bit more clear?
Well, it's a lot all at once.
It is a lot, yeah.
I think that helps a lot. Council members have. Councilor Zula.
Yeah, so I don't understand exactly what you don't actually work with the individuals, is that correct? You're just basically another level of government above all the us setting procedures? Like you don't actually deal with the individuals?
When you say individuals, do you mean patients?
Yeah.
Correct. So we do operate with individuals through one particular clinic at this point in time through CareBridge, but our role is to combine all of the organizations, right? So like what we work on specifically is on priorities that the organizations pull together. So a really good example of that is around some of the work that we've been doing with attachment and access for primary care, specifically in the region. This has been set as a priority from Ontario Health and set as a priority locally for a need that we need to do here. So we are working directly with the primary care teams in building capacity. So working on introducing things like AI Scribe, working on introducing things that are going to improve efficiency. So specifically around upstaffing for Best Care, which is a COPD program, which is directly patient facing. So getting COPD and CHF dollars to a respiratory therapist that is now operating at some of the primary care clinics. So really what we're looking at is we focus specifically on key areas that as a community we're saying that are a priority for us.
All right.
I don't think she's done. questions?
Okay.
Other questions from council? No. I guess maybe just leave all of this. What any expectations? You wanted us to understand what the OHT does, but what are your expectations of this particular council and all the councils in the area?
Well, I don't have any particular expectations at this point in time. One of the things that we've been talking about in some of the other ones, Stephen and Perry Sound specifically, was just around having a way to flow information to you as well. So one of the key pieces that we've worked on recently was on the expansion for primary care as an expression of interest for expansion of primary care in the region. And so making sure that we're getting information on the work that we're doing out to you so that you're aware of what's going on. And then through our health and social service network, which we meet monthly, at some point I think it would be helpful to make sure that just such that there are lines of communication that are happening with the municipalities. We are working with individual municipalities through the nurse practitioner like clinics, for instance, through community advisory committees and so on. But I think that more regular touch points with the municipalities will be helpful just as a region to make sure that we're all kind of pulling in the same direction, I guess, and making sure that we're working together on similar priorities around health.
Yeah, I noticed that the LHINs were still there. I didn't know what had happened to them, and it was such a large area at the time, so I think this is great that we got a local team in place, because my understanding of the LHINs in the past was that they were moving up to James Bay or something. It was just too large to actually get anything locally. So is that one of the goals of the OHT?
Yeah, so essentially with the LHINs and with Ontario Health, so what they did with the Ontario Health teams, and I'm just going to reshare the screen here, what they did was in moving toward this Ontario Health and Ontario Health team model, what they did was they consolidated these organizations into Ontario Health. And so in reorganizing the LHINs into Ontario Health and the Ontario Health teams, effectively what they did is they took this regional LHIN body that was supposed to be this sort of health integration network, ended up being more of a silo than I think was intended. And so with the Ontario Health teams, the idea of it is that it's community-led, right? So I'm an individual who has worked in primary care locally for more than a decade. I am someone who, and all of the core partners who are leading this work, all the core partners who are setting, you know, the operations plans for the year and all those pieces, they are from core partners that are local. So it really is just trying to bring some of that, bring us away, I guess, from that top-down approach and move it toward more of a bottom-up approach.
Excellent. No further questions that I can see. We have the public online as well. I don't know whether they would have any particular questions for you.
I have a comment.
Oh, okay. Mary has a comment here. Deputy Clerk.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know the CareBridge is very much appreciated. I have a daughter who hasn't had a family doctor since she was 15, and she's had a lot of medical issues. And ever since CareBridge opened, she can get an appointment with them within a week, and she's doing so much better because of them. So I just wanted to give you kudos for that.
Oh, thank you. That's so lovely to hear.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your presentation.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate a lot of information in a short period of time.
10 minutes. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks again. On to 11.3, we have resolution 26-024, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the deputation from Chris Rivard, Chief Building Official, North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority, for information purposes. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
Chris, you can unmute and share your screen. Thanks for your patience.
No problem. Can you see that okay?
We just see you right now.
Oh, It should come up. I haven't done this very often. The share screen anyway, so. Okay, let's see.
There it goes, thank you.
There you go. Right on. All right, well, thank you very much for letting me speak here tonight. My name is Chris Rivard. I'm the Chief Building Official and Manager of the On-Site Sewage System Program with the North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority. I've been in the role as a Chief Building Official for just about 9-10 months, but I've been with the NBMCA for over 8 years now as a Sewage System Inspector. So I'm just really thankful that you guys gave me the opportunity to be here today. Thank you to staff for helping organize this as well. This is just something that I'm really looking to try and build stronger relationships with our townships, municipalities that we serve within the on-site sewage system program, because I understand we serve a lot of communities and everyone kind of has different needs or unique needs, so this is a way that I can reach out and try and build that relationship. So this is the first time that I've done one of these, so sorry that you guys are kind of my guinea pigs, but I appreciate it. And I'm going to keep this as a very high level presentation, because I want to leave time for questions. And I want to hear from you guys as the elected officials as to maybe what kind of questions you're hearing in the community, or any way that you think that we can offer a better service. And something else is, I want to say thanks for having me here, but also, like, I'm sorry that I couldn't be there in person, because I know that face-to-face relationship's a little bit stronger. And I sit on your side of the table as a counselor in West Nipissing, so this is a little different being on this side of things, but it'll be pretty neat. So, who are we? The North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority. We were formed under the Conservation Authorities Act of Ontario in 1972 at the request of a few municipalities in the North Bay area. We're one of 36 CAs, and there's only 5 in Northern Ontario. So one main reason, too, why I wanted to reach out is I've been getting a lot of questions from smaller municipalities wondering what will happen with that new ERO that was presented by the province late 2025 regarding the consolidation of conservation authorities. And I'm just here to reassure the Township of McKellar that the OSS program, the On-Site Sewage System Program, should not be affected by this consolidation, because we fall under the Building Code Act and the Ontario Building Code, Division C, Table 1.7.1.1, where it clearly states that we are responsible for Part 8 sewage systems in the Parry Sound and Nipissing districts, apart from a few municipalities. So here you see that there's a few programs and services that these are things that we can provide to our member municipalities, but our member municipalities pay levies in our town, which I'm sure you guys know all about levies. So I just wanted to point that out. This is a page regarding our mission and vision. I won't stay on that too long. And then this is just, I'm trying to show the different maps of what the Conservation Authority covers with the NBMCA. So under the Conservation Authorities Act, which would potentially see changes with the consolidation, is our regulated area, which is about 3,000 square kilometers based on the watersheds for Lake Nipissing and the Ottawa River. And then here's a list of our member municipalities that all contribute via levies to the organization and receive the services that were on the slide before. And then here again, here's a slightly larger map, so our jurisdiction kind of expands on different programs. Our drinking water source protection program covers a little bit more southwest, all the way down to just past South River, and a little bit more west towards Restuel, where we actually just completed a very large public consultation because of legislative changes to the Drinking Water Act, Clean Water Act, sorry. And it's based off of the intake protection zones, issue contributing areas, wellhead protection areas for the municipal drinking water supply for towns like Powassan, North Bay, Mattawa, South River, and Callander specifically. So here's something that matters to the Township of McKellar, would be the on-site sewage system's jurisdiction. So as you can see here on the map, It's a little bit larger than the other jurisdictions. It covers about 25,000 square kilometers, which is near the same size as the country of Haiti or the state of Vermont. So it's a very large area that we cover, and it can be difficult at times, but also that's kind of what's interesting with it, because we deal with 30 different municipalities, many different chief building officials, planning departments, some towns that have, you know, 20,000 as a population to 50,000 to as small as a couple hundred. We also deal with many unorganized townships. There's about 50 to 55, I was counting them today, but only about 35 actually have development on them, so those are the ones that we deal with more often. And then also our jurisdiction extends as far as Algonquin Park, where we have to issue permits and take care of some public concerns in that area as well. So essentially, we're responsible for issuing permits, enforcing septic system provisions, and conducting inspections and issuing orders for remedial action. So that will, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard, people will call our office. We do have an office in Parry Sound and an office in North Bay. And then each permit requires three inspections: an initial inspection before we issue a permit, followed by a substantial inspection once about 80% of the work has been completed. And then that's just to make sure that the system has been installed in accordance to the Ontario Building Code and meets the permit that was approved. And then there's also a final inspection, which many people aren't too aware of. They think once the second one's done, everything's done. But the final inspection is where we need to see the tank lids at grade and all the landscaping complete, right? So typically we need some grass growing on top of the bed as an anti-erosion control. So that's just a little brief overview of the program. And here's a slide showing some numbers for the Township of McKellar over the past 5 years. As you can see, in 2021 and 2022, new permits were pretty high in 2021, and then replacement permits were very high in 2022. It's difficult to know exactly why these numbers were that way, and then they dropped so much by 2025. But my assumption would be that that shift during the COVID years, where people were moving north or maybe starting to live at their cottages or working from home, so maybe putting more pressure on their sewage systems, which then resulted in more replacements being required. As you can notice as well, there's only 2023 and 2024, there's one occurrence per year. The occurrences are what we call public concerns as well. So when somebody, a member of the public, calls in and mentions that, you know, they may have a concern about their neighbor, a neighboring property, or they got a strong smell as they were taking their dog for a walk, or a contractor noticed something while doing work on a property, they'll contact our office and then we'll go out to investigate, monitor, and either issue some orders to comply to those property owners. So I'm not exactly sure why the numbers are so low. I imagine we received many calls, but in the past we were only recording ones that we acted upon and got them to comply. But now we're moving towards a system where we will track every call, and even if it's not an actual valid concern, if it's frivolous or there's just nothing wrong with the system, we will still track it just to have better numbers for the municipalities to show that we are out there inspecting these systems and not just ignoring the calls. And then here's a page with just some of the other programs that we offer, and some links. But I just wanted to leave it open to some questions or comments that you may have regarding the NBMCA and our service.
Okay, Councilor Ryan.
Thank you, Chris. Can you tell me why McKellar does not have drinking water source protection?
That isn't my realm, the drinking water source protection. But essentially, if it wasn't deemed in the, I believe that's with the Clean Water Act, right? So that would, I'd have to ask somebody and then I could get back to you. Which councillor asked that, sorry?
I'm Nick Ryland.
Nick Ryland. Yeah, I'll ask Angela Mills. She's our Liza Vandermeer, and then I can get back on why the jurisdiction is the way it is. I know more regarding the on-site sewage system program.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
I know. I'm just wondering whether you've been affected very much. The MPP, I don't even know what stage it's at now, had asked the municipalities to
look at after their own and withdraw from the North Bay Mattawa. Have you been affected by that at all? And by saying this, of course, you have their stamp of approval from our CBO. He said we should certainly stay with North Bay Mattawa, but I'm wondering how many have withdrawn and what effect that's had on you.
Yeah, so I'd say it's still at the very early stages. The public consultation just closed on Friday, January 22nd, so comments were provided. We're hearing a lot out there, you know, some people saying it's a done deal, and then others are saying, no, you got to respect the public consultation period, which I strongly believe in. So we're going to see how that pans out. There's about four townships and one municipality are looking to take over the program within their townships and municipalities. I'm not too sure how that will roll out or what kind of effect it will have. It definitely will have an effect on our overall budget and the amount of permits we deal with. But we do deal with anywhere from 600 to 1,200 permits a year over the past 5 years. So, you know, if we're losing, I think we'd be losing anywhere from 100 to 200 permits. But at the same time, it will shrink our area down, where perhaps we're going to have to wait to see how our service pans out there, but we don't see a problem with servicing McKellar either way. Yeah, and I appreciate Chris giving us a stamp of approval. I've had a few occasions to speak with him, and it's been great so far. I'm just really looking to try and work with him a little more, because I know that he deals with the same files that I deal with, the same properties, maybe dealing with similar questions. So I'm a big believer that we have to build that relationship between the NBMCA and your municipal staff.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, he did talk about some a few years back some difficulties, but he said the communication is much better now. So I don't know whether that's you in particular, but it seems to be working much better.
Yeah, I hope it's me, but I'm just looking to keep working with him, and I really appreciate him kind of greeted me with open arms when I called, because I had heard some things, so I was a little worried when I initially called, but everything seems to be going great, so.
Good. Now, some of us on our local planning board as well, and just one question, I guess. In some of the townships now, they're asking for a primary site for a sewage system, but also a secondary site. Is that something that North Bay Mattawa also requires, or is it something we should be looking at?
So, our past management has requested that, having a reserve site as well, but something that I'm a strong believer in is typically where that initial system is, if nothing's built and if an Ontario Building Code clearance application was submitted before, saying they build an accessory structure or garage, there shouldn't be an issue once, to replace that system in the same location. So often, like, that replacement, that second location could just be the exact same location, but maybe shifted around a little bit. Yeah, I don't really see a big need for that. So.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Other questions from council? Councilor Zulak.
Yeah, I was wondering, can you tell me with turnaround time for complaints, if you got a complaint on the weekend, how quickly do you respond? Would you be respond? Because I'm more or less gearing that towards short-term rentals, maybe somebody's there for the weekend and then there's a problem with leakage or smell, like you were saying. Would you be there the next day, or by the time you got there, would it all be, the people would be gone or whatever?
Yeah, it's a great question that we're dealing with in pretty much every township or municipality that we're dealing with. Our short-term rentals, often trailers as well, because they're often heavily used on the weekends.
Right.
So when we do go out on the Monday or Tuesday, and if we continuously can't notice anything, or that strong smell, or see people, you know, parked on top of the system or whatnot, we have advised them to maybe take a photo or to share it, so that we can maybe go the educational route. But then I do try, I've been working with the inspectors to try and get them to, you know, work with contacting the complainant. Everything remains anonymous as well, just to let you know. But to contact the complainant to make sure that Is there any way that maybe you come in first thing on Monday morning, take your car out and go take a look at that property? Or is there a way to go late afternoon on Friday? Because there's a great chance that those short-term rentals or those continuous complaints that people are there on Friday as well. It is difficult, but typically we're there within 24 to 48 hours. A lot of people, from my experience, have kind of had issues with their complaint system because they believe that we're not going out and we're not keeping them up to speed on what's happening. But it comes down to once we receive the complaint, it's in our hands and we can't really share what actions we're taking next. But sometimes it does make sense to contact and say, hey, when I visited the property, I didn't see anything. Is there anywhere that I should be looking in particular? Is there anywhere on your property that you're getting the smell? Something like that. We try and ask as many questions as we can so that we can properly assess the situation.
Okay, so I thought you said too that you're going to be keeping a record of all of the complaints. Is that right?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be a name, it would just be the address of where the complaint was about?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's great. I just have one more question. So for septic approval for the copy of the certificate, say after about 10 years somebody needs to have that, are they able to get that from you? And if they are, is there a fee?
Do you mean, like, say if the property changes ownership?
Yeah.
And somebody was
yeah.
Yeah, so we do offer a fee for that. It's $100 for us to go in our what we call our dungeon, retrieve
right.
the file, scan, and provide it to the owner. It doesn't take us very long, but I do believe that we do send all of our copies to the township.
Okay.
Maybe for a few years it wasn't
That's
happening
right.
that way. We have reestablished that practice after speaking with Chris. I apologize for that. I can't speak for what happened in the past, but
right.
moving forward, we are sharing those documents, as we should have always been, with the township. And what the township wishes to do with those documents falls within the township's jurisdiction, but I would strongly suggest to redact any personal information. That's something that...
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
And sorry, just as you were speaking about the short-term rental bylaw, it got me thinking, I missed this part in the slides. I'm just looking, another reason why I like the idea of coming in front of you guys tonight was we do have ideas at the NBMCA of how we can help you help us or the other way around. So, you know, whether it be increased setbacks to a water body for sewage systems or if it's trailer bylaws or short-term rental bylaws that you guys are maybe thinking or trying to enact, or if you have questions regarding additional residential units, accessory structures, or just looking for education campaigns, I'd be more than happy to help work with your staff or work with your council or provide a more specific delegation in the future, deputation, sorry.
Well, that's appreciated. We're actually just going through it. It's been a little longer than we anticipated, but a review of our official plan and our zoning. So that'll be coming up in the next a few months, I guess. I don't want to make any promises, but certainly your expertise could be called upon, yes.
Yeah, well, we're doing the same at our municipality, and I think we're on year two now, and it's not really... hopefully we can get it done before the election freeze.
Right. Okay, well, if there's no further questions, again, I'll open it up to the public. We have some members on here. Any particular questions? Oh, I guess not. So thanks very much, Chris, for coming and doing this presentation. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Okay, we're on to 14.1. We have resolution 26-025, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the January 13th, 2026 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.1. Resolution.
26-026, moved by Councilor Pekinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee meeting minutes for December the 18th, 2025, for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.1, we have resolution 26-027, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report admin-2026-01 from Clerk Administrator Carly Britton, and further that Council authorizes the Clerk to proceed immediately with the implementation of a new municipal website with Up and Up, including an initial setup and migration fee of $9,000 plus HST of $1,170, a total cost of $10,170. Discussion? Maybe Carly just wants to give a brief background here.
The township currently uses the eSolutions platform for our municipal website. Unfortunately, they've been bought out by another company and they are moving to a different software called GovStack. They will no longer be supporting our website as of end of June 2026, so the township is more or less forced to either go with our current provider's new software system or look elsewhere. So GHD Digital, they're moving to GovStack, as I just mentioned, and the migration fee for that is just over $13,000 plus HST, and our annual fees will be increasing just to over $5,000 per year. Myself, the deputy clerk, and the administrative assistant are the three individuals that use the township website daily. We sat down with two other vendors to get demos of the website, and the one vendor, Up and Up, also provided us with a backend, with a test website so that we can go on the back end and actually use the website as if we were putting content on. The three of us were very impressed with Up and Up. And their system is very easy to use. We feel that it'll be a simpler website with good information. We can do a lot more with it. Individual municipalities that use Up and Up currently are the Town of Kearney, Town of Carberry, and the Village of Nascup. Up and Up have also said that they're working with a lot of new Ontario municipalities coming forward because they were in the same position that the township of McKellar is in. They're being forced to either migrate to this new GovStack at a fairly steep cost. So they're working with a lot of municipalities to get onto Up and Up. As well, they're a completely Canadian-based company, which is great. So there's less impact for company buy-ups and then us being in this position once again. 2026 is becoming a very busy year, so this isn't a project that we were looking to take on. Unfortunately, we were forced into it, but we feel that Up and Up would be a good solution for the township moving forward.
Questions from council? Councilor Zulak.
So is that been included in our budget?
Yes, that's correct. So the migration fee for Up and Up has been included in the draft 2026 budget. As council is well aware, that budget has not been passed yet. So that's why I'm asking for this resolution tonight to move forward with Up and Up so that we can start the process soon. They've advised me that the township would be able to start the migration process in February, and they said it would take up to 12 weeks for our new website to be up and running. So just to ensure that we're not without a website, I would like to start immediately so that we have a little bit of wiggle room just in case anything were to occur. That is why the resolution is coming forward tonight and not a part of the budget.
That was one of my questions. I guess you've answered it. The public will still have access to a website. There'll be no downtime.
That is correct. Our GovStack website will be available until the end of the year, but we will just no longer be able to maintain it at the end of June of this year, and Up will have us up within 12 weeks.
Councilor Ryan?
Carly, can I just ask, I see the 9,000 plus 1170, but when I get down here, I don't know what the page number is, there's also another fee of $2,270, if I'm right?
Yes, so that's the ongoing annual platform fee, which is half of what we are currently paying with our provider now.
Okay, that's a great answer. Thank you. I can't find it now. I mean, I didn't read it earlier, so.
Yeah, I thought it said annual fee is $27.60.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. So if we were to move with the new GovStack platform, our annual fees would be over $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we've had quite a few concerns with the present system. So I think the one that came out in the past, and I think Mary had answered this, but I always have trouble with the search engine. I don't think we really have a proper search engine. And then I noticed they put that right in here. That's one of the things they'll provide. I'm looking on page 2 of 12 as well. It talks about 2 years of date-related items, news and meetings of that. Can they archive? That's one of our problems in the past. We can't go back very far because we just don't have the memory of whatever it takes. Can they archive back to, say, 2000 or something as well?
Yes, we did discuss that in our demo process. So the new website would just have 2 years worth of data, but we would have a microsite, it's called. So if you were looking for archived information, old agendas, old minutes, it would take you to like a sub-site, and that's where all that would be stored.
Excellent. Councilor Zula?
So all of the stuff now will be transferred onto that?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, and I would also mention too, maybe down the road, if we're happy with the site we want to move, and the library could also have a sub-site underneath us.
Another question at the bottom of page 2 talks about the stock images. I don't know whether this is something we've talked about or not. It'd be nice to have our own particular images, although I know you have to be careful who's in the actual picture. So is it better to go with a stock image? I always look at that, you know, different programs and recreation offers or whatever, and you have a picture of somebody in some other country. It'd be nice to have our local people, but do we have to be careful with that?
Yeah, our admin assistant did mention that as well. We do like to have local photographs, so when people are visiting our website, they can actually see our McKellar area and the residents. We just have to be careful with privacy. If we're having an event where photos are being taken, they can't be used for social media or the website, we'll just need them to sign a waiver to ensure that they realize that their personal photo may be on the website. So, but we can do that in the future for sure.
Yeah. And certainly photos with no people in, you know, say one picture or facilities kind of things. So, okay. That's good.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, usually you have kids playing something and it'd be nice to have actual people from the area, but that's always.
So you'd have to get a signature from everybody in the photo?
Correct, or a parent or guardian.
That could be doable if you were set on a photo. I'm sure a lot of people have a problem with it.
It's like for T-ball, for example, if your form at the very beginning of the year, you can add that to the form where, you know, any photos that are taken of the baseball players, as long as they're okay with that, then you can use those in.
Right.
And yeah.
So. Yeah.
On page 3, I guess, I'm just wondering about partway down there. They have fillable documents, I guess is my question, because even tonight we have 3 different presentations and they're using all old forms, new forms. They don't seem to understand that we have a form online that they can use. I think 2 of them use the 2019 form instead of the new one. And that one actually used a fillable document. Is that something that we have now or something we'll provide for people?
Yes, so there is a forms platform on the Up and Up website that they can use, and also the township can make fillable PDF forms. So now going forward, when we're revamping all of our current township forms, we are making also a PDF fillable version, because that's just the way people are filling out forms now. They're typing them out on the computer and not printing them out, hand writing them and scanning them.
Okay. And I'm looking here, I guess on page 5, this is from a BC company. So I guess the concern is, I guess through electronics and it's immediate contact communication, no problem there. I don't expect they would come in person to visit from BC. I don't think we could afford it. But there will be a good contact there, as opposed to an Ontario company?
Yes, I spoke with the clerk from the town of Kearney, and they don't have any concerns with their website. They've been extremely responsive to us, and the only provider to provide us with a test website. We haven't had any trouble so far communicating with them, and it's nice that they are still within Canada, whereas our current company is in the global, so we can get somebody from the States or another country. So I think it's better that we are back in Canada.
And is there a length of contract that they need in
place 2 or 3 years to make sure that it's worth their while to do all of this?
I
didn't see it.
I don't think so, but obviously you don't want to switch websites too often.
Nope.
So I think it's more advantageous that the township stays with the one provider for many years. So it's kind of nice we're not locked in, just in case we wanted to not go forward with them anymore. But no, I didn't see any term.
Yeah, it can work both ways. I mean, if you're not happy with the service, you'd like to get out of it, maybe get somebody else. It wasn't all it was cracked up to be, perhaps. The other thing is, too, that if they suddenly up the prices, you know, astronomically, like we're running into, what do you do then? So if this is fairly fluid on both parts, both sides, then I guess that's a good thing. Yeah.
And they have mentioned that their annual increases will be $60 a year, so at least we know what to budget for going forward.
I guess the other question, I'm sure you can handle this one on page 5 at the bottom. It says the information included in this document is confidential. We just put it on the website.
Yes.
So
I did.
They're okay with that?
Yes, I did ask them permission to post the document.
Well, we ran into the same thing previously, I think, when we were doing forensic audit or something.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
we can work with and said, you can't make this public, but as long as you've covered it, that's good. I think it's great to take the initiative and get something working. And as you say, it's going to be a busy year now with all the things going on with the election as well. And but I think this will be looked upon favorably to get this website up and running. And I'm sure the three of you can well verse in it. It won't take long to see how things work. So I have read this, right?
Yes.
Call the questions. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 17.2. We have resolution 26-028, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report T-1-2026, tax arrears status, as of December 31st, 2025, from Treasurer Roshan Cantilla. For information purposes. Discussion?
Well, just compared to last year, it's not as bad as last year, by the looks of what I guess. So it's an improvement.
Yeah, I think this particular company is resolving some of the issues that we've hired, but Councilor Ryan?
Sorry, I'm just reinterpreting it now, so I think you're right. That assessment is right. What appears on page, I don't know, of the report, right? In other words, that we moved from a total of 614 to 542. Is that what you mean, Norman?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that I don't see in here, the company was real tax, is that true? Okay. Is there a plan, or is Roshan preparing something in terms of how many accounts that we should assign to them?
Yes, I think he'd be looking for another 6 roles to do this year. We've been really successful working with RealTax. We just had another payment come in yesterday, so I signed the certificate of cancellation for tax sale today, so that we only have one property now going to receive the final notice for tax sale out of the 6 we presented to RealTax. So it's been really successful. So he'd be looking for another 6, and that will be coming shortly.
Why 6?
That's the number he provided me. It does take some effort on his end, so I think 6 is manageable for him. But if council were to want more, then I think that may be a discussion with him.
Personally speaking, yes, I would like to see us do a lot more than that. I mean, maybe even do 50. Right? And I recognize that there's a work involved. I don't know what the work is, but I'm certain that it is there. It would make sense to me, given the dollar values involved here, this would help us pay for many things, including roads, all the rest. And I think it would also change ratepayers' reluctance to pay, right? If they knew that there was a bunch of real tax activity going on. And that's what I would hope that we could do. And I'm not suggesting we should be hard-hearted and throw people out on the street. By the same token, we can't afford to leave all this money uncollected. Right? That's a massive impact on our budget. So
think we could pass that along to them, certainly to increase the numbers. But again, there's legislation that really helps the homeowner so that there's only certain times you can actually take any action. And a lot of them realize that too. This is something they got a bit of a loophole there. They can wait, and it's the last thing they pay.
Yeah.
And so I think Roshan certainly has to look at that too. You can't act too quickly. You can't go after all of these here because some of them are 2 years, and you need a certain period of time.
So I understand, but I mean, if we have $400 accounts, I don't remember the number. I was just looking at it. Doing six.
Oh, I know. Yeah, take forever. Yeah.
And again, I appreciate that, you know, I don't want to cause a massive amount of work to do this, but if it was worthwhile, then potentially we could find somebody that could come in on a contract basis in order to manage the transition to real tax. And again, even going after 50 out of 400 is still, you know, 1/8 of them. I mean, that's not much, right? And again, the way that I look at this in a general way is these amounts that are huge. Strikes me as, you know, million-dollar properties, almost for sure, because I know what I pay for my taxes, and it's a lot less than those things. So these are people that I think are using the system to their advantage. I'll say nice things. But and like I said, if that requires more work, and if we could get a contract employee that could do that, obviously needing to pass through Roshan at some point, but not to do all the legwork. It would be in our financial interest to do so.
Yeah, maybe we could just start with Roshan looking at which ones. And like you say, there's some large numbers here.
Yeah.
And other ones are fairly small.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And the amount, you know, amount of years that they've been owing. So I think that's something he could investigate, sir.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Does with some of these properties, does he send a registered mail directly to the property owner?
Real Tax does the process.
Oh, yeah. And they have that in their process?
Yes. Yeah. And the municipality has tried to contact these people. It's not that we're just not sending them tax bills or letters. For some reason, they're not getting them. And sometimes Real Tax has to go through other avenues, like contacting their bank directly, just avenues that we don't have access to.
Correct.
I could also suggest that maybe in a future report, it would be worthwhile, at least I would like to know, how much money did we collect from Real Tax, or through Real Tax, I mean, not from, but, you know, it's just useful to understand what impact is happening, and I heard you say we collected a big one recently. That's great news, and obviously I don't need to know personal information. It's just, you know, how effective is this in getting us money?
Yeah, no, we talked about that before.
Yeah.
You know, how successful are they? But it seemed to be being assured that we're doing much better than we did without them. So,
yeah, if we can every year reduce, you know, how many properties are, you know, in errors, I think that's heading in the right direction. I think to all of a sudden do a major blast and all of a sudden say 20 people, it does force them onto the street. It's like, whoa, what did that council just do to, you know, some residents kind of thing. So I think you've got to be a little more gentle maybe where it's, you know, only a couple of people a year that you may be forcing a sale. And
but again, if we have 400 accounts and we're only going to attempt six, frankly, that's a travesty, right? And we're abandoning our role for this. And I'm not suggesting we should try and collect all 400 or even 100.
Mm-hmm.
But we should do a lot more than six.
Oh, I could probably agree with that, but okay. 50, I think, would be a little extreme, you know, because that's 50 residents in the municipality, and it, you know, so they probably have friends, you know, they would talk to, well, the municipality's going to force the sale of my home, and I don't know, it's a pretty sensitive situation, especially when you do know, you know, a lot of people and neighbors kind of thing. So, like, it's kind of a gentle process. But maybe there's no upside to it, but one thing about it, somehow or another, I believe we do receive that interest, I guess, on what's, so, and we put that in our budget, the interest we're collecting on those unpaid taxes, so that's, I think, fairly substantial. I think $25,000 or $30,000 maybe a year that we get in revenue because of that.
Truthfully, I don't understand Roshan's use of the word accrual. Accrual in general. general terms means that it's a bookkeeping entry that we made to show the asset, the revenue in this case, or whatever, but it doesn't mean it's been paid. There's a hell of a difference between an accrual and a payment, right? So just because it's been accrued, and I have this issue with other documents that I've mentioned to Roshan before, is based on my knowledge, and I'm no accountant, I'm not suggesting I am, but you can't say that it's accrued and therefore it's paid somehow in our minds. I want to make sure that we understand that, right? That money's out there and it adds to the amount of unpaid taxes, right? But and if people are paying their interest alone, I mean, that's a positive, I guess. I don't have a problem with that. By the same token, I'd like to make sure that I understand the terminology being used.
Now, is this company that we're subbing it out to, and are they coming up with suggestions like on how we can maybe, have we looked, do they suggest that maybe we should look at biannual or quarterly billings?
No, they don't suggest that. It's kind of out of their wheelhouse. That would be a decision of council.
Right.
Okay. Councilor Zulak?
I was just wondering, maybe would it be possible that Roshan could come to a meeting and explain his reasons for why he picked six, you know, what the background behind that is, and then if there was any other questions they could be asked of him then too.
Yes, and it does cost the township upfront for real taxes fees. Ultimately, the property owner does pay them back, but is it just note that, you know, if you took on a vast amount of properties, that is a lot of money going out
first,
and then we're waiting to come
initially.
Yeah,
so he could probably answer a lot of the questions instead of doing like a three-way where you're trying to answer something that he would have right there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something that should be probably initiated by the province more so is, I think people have their monthly bills and they arrange for it to be automatically taken out every month kind of thing. If that was the case with property taxes, I think you would have a tendency of people paying their taxes, where now, you know, they get a letter once every half year, and it's like, yeah, I'll slide that down under there because I haven't got the money for it right now. But if it was coming, you know, a monthly thing, but that's, I know that's something we can't do, but
Actually, the municipalities can do that. They can decide how often they want to bill, if they want to do it annually, quarterly, or monthly. So it is in the municipality's wheelhouse to actually decide on how they want to do the billing.
Right, and our staff would say, no, we don't want to do that, at least the process we're doing kind of thing. But if there was a process in the future where it could be done so easily monthly, I think in the long run it would pay off and people would be paying their taxes on time.
Councilor Zulak?
Well, I think that individual person can request to have it taken off monthly, you know what I mean, or however they want. If they want to have more installments,
they can have a payment plan. The treasurer is not going to put a property to tax sale where a person is trying to pay it off. These are properties that have had a huge balance for many years that we no money has come in. Any individual can speak to the treasurer and make some sort of payment plan.
I think there's a whole list that he goes through before it actually goes, and so many years before it actually goes, you know, for the property's going to go for sale or something. Like, he has to go through a whole.
So can any individual in the taxpayer, even if they're paying their taxes on time, they owe nothing, to walk into the office and say, arrange for me to be paying monthly?
We cannot take it out of their bank account. We're not set up for that, but we can be set up as a bill payment, and people can pay whatever amount they wish at any time, monthly, weekly.
Yeah. And that can be done like e-transfer?
E-transfer, correct, yes. Yeah, it's the individual setting that up on their end. We are not doing a pre-authorized debit out of people's accounts.
That's something I would almost recommending and pushing forward on. If there's some way in the future, like, okay, you've built your home and everything, would you like to be billed monthly?
Yeah.
You know, instead of, you know, say it's like some of them you see here are large, expensive home worth millions of dollars, and they get that bill, and it's like, whoa, yeah, push that under there. But if they had all been approached and say, okay, there's your final inspection, would you like, an option is to have it paid monthly.
Councilor
July.
So, like, I know if you have a mortgage, you can have that taken right, added to your mortgage, and it comes right off.
That's less common now. A lot of the banks are coming to us, and they're
not doing
tax accounts anymore. So that was
perfect.
Yes, it's the big banks are not offering that service anymore.
Hmm.
Well, yes.
And I think you have to be a little careful what you wish for with the automatic debiting as well, because we were in a situation with one company. They offer all these kinds of services, and they always want a setup that they'll just take it out automatically. And my wife was very said, "No, we'll contact you each year, and this is what we'll pay."
Well, yeah.
So the automatic, you have to be careful.
I know exactly what you're saying. I run into that all the time. Yeah. Get on the phone, like, can you cancel that? Come on, you're still billing me monthly. Like, how much TV can I watch? Like, kind of thing. But I think property tax, that's another thing, But anyways, I'm just blabbering. Obviously, it's not, this is going
to
happen.
Well, we'll work to have Roshan at a future meeting then. He can answer all of your questions.
We can blabber to him.
For the record, I just looked at the bar chart page, which is not numbered, not that I can see anyway. There are 14 properties over $5,000 owing on that page alone.
Yeah, quite a few. I saw 12 coming up, 9 coming up. And yeah, that's a fair amount, like you said.
Yeah. So there'd be a lot of properties in this township probably pay $5,000 a year, easy. Tons, many, many of them.
Okay, no further discussion. I'll call the question. All those are not opposed, or on to 17.3, a resolution number 26-029, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Hassman. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the accounts payable preliminary check run report for December 2025 from Treasurer Roshan Cantillo for information purposes. Discussion?
On page 3 of 20, it has Minuteman courses and training. We had received an email asking if our committee had. So is this?
That was the invoice. It was the fire chief printing the pamphlets for the regional emergency management training.
Okay.
So we've informed him that when he does that next year, we'll print everything in house.
Okay.
I'm looking at, I guess it's page 4 of 20 at the top. A couple laptops were purchased. This is for the fire department, I believe.
Yes, and they were returned as well.
Well, one was.
Yes.
I didn't know both of them were. But, I guess the question I have is the fire department in particular. Do we have a list of who has what as far as phones, laptops? All the firefighters, is it just the executive, or do the firefighters have their own phones as well through the township?
The fire chief has a laptop and a phone. The deputy fire chief has a tablet, and those are managed through Near North. They have asset ID numbers. The other tablets and iPads are within Bay State in the vehicles, the pumpers, and the rescue trucks. So we do have an inventory, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to be assured that any of these things are being used on behalf of the township. They are being monitored because other townships are running into some problems. So whether it be used for personal reasons sometimes, and if people aren't tracking it, then you don't catch that sort of thing.
Near North always also manages what apps are installed on township IT equipment as well. So that's another thing to note.
Questions of the accounts? I have another check mark, but I guess I don't. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 19.1. 26-030, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby supports the attached resolutions of the Municipality of McDougal and the Town of Parry Sound, requesting that the Near North District School Board replace tennis courts on the Parry Sound JK to grade 12 school property, and further that this resolution be copied to the Minister of Education, MPP Graydon Smith, Parents for Parry Sound, Community Schools Alliance, West Parry Sound Municipalities, and First Nations in West Parry Sound. Discussion?
Is there actually a North District School Board still, or?
I think by name. The trustees aren't in effect, but
and they have an executive director, right?
Yes.
I don't know if they have anybody else. I can't figure that part out recently, but.
I thought it should just be directly to the minister. But anyways,
well, sometimes you want the local too, that because the minister might not see it right away when they're doing the whole province. Okay, call the question. All in favor? None opposed? Carried. And I just want to commend staff too on the attached resolution, so I don't have to read all of the resolutions as we've done before. Some of them like to write a paragraph. On to 19.2, resolution 26-031, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Whereas the Whitestone McKellar Lions Club conducts an annual Christmas hamper and toy drive to support families in need, and whereas the Whitestone McKellar Lions Club has requested permission from the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to place donation boxes at the McKellar Community Center and the McKellar Library from November the 1st, 2026 through to December 19th, 2026. Now therefore be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar grants permission to the Whitestone McKellar Lions Club to place Christmas hamper and toy donation boxes at the McKellar Community Center and the McKellar Library from November the 1st, 2026 through to December 19th, 2026. Discussion? Talk about being prepared, that's good.
Yeah.
We're making it Christmas already. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 21.1. Resolution 26-032, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-03, being a bylaw to authorize the borrowing of money to meet current expenditures of the Council of first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open council this 27th day of January 2026. Discussion? I don't think the figure has changed from year to year, and I don't think it's even accessed. But I don't know, Roshan would have to confirm that. But it's just a backup, I guess, if it's necessary. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 21.2, resolution 26-033, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-04, being a bylaw to levy certain interim rates, taxes, and charges for the year 2026, the first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open council this 27th day of January 2026. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 21.3, resolution 26-034, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-05, being a bylaw to set tax ratios for municipal purposes for the year 2026, the first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open council this 27th day of January 2026. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Unfinished business 22.1. Anything on that list you wish to
next steps for that?
The draft survey has been received by the township. Council has not reviewed it yet. They have about a 6-month shelf life on them, as I've been told by the surveyor, so that will be coming shortly. Just waiting on further reports from Landscape, and then it will come forward to council.
Thank you.
On to new business.
Just one thing.
Oh, sorry.
Just wondering about the community center floor.
I'm having a hard time finding a contractor that's even willing to come do measurements and provide a quote. Just with the size of a floor and its use, I feel that it should be a commercial flooring and a commercial installer. I've reached out to companies in Parry Sound, North Bay, and now I have to look at Barrie and GTA area. I'm just not having any luck.
I was just wondering, because for budget.
Yeah, I would like to have a more accurate figure and some samples to provide to council. It won't be on the February 6th meeting, but yeah, I'm just having a hard time getting a contractor.
Thank you.
Okay, on to new business. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members.
Go, Marley.
Okay. No, you're first. I'll be quick. Okay, on rec meeting, pretty standard. Two events coming up. I think I mentioned last meeting. Kids' annual fish derby on February 21st from 2 to 4, and then it's only a run on March 1st from 10 to 1. I'm just wondering if I haven't been a hold of Rojan, but if you could give him a message, Carly, that. We'd probably like to work on a budget, maybe our next rec meeting, so if he could prepare for me a actuals from 2025, the budget from 2025, the actuals for 25, and then leave us a nice blank row for the 26 proposed. That'd be wonderful. And then there was Parry Sound Area Planning Board, probably Carly could even talk on that, but I could start off saying that so we're trying to work on budget for that and some processes, a procedural bylaw we changed, and so we're hashing out some figures anyway. I don't know if you want to add to that.
At the February 3rd meeting, a resolution will come forward to council for some changes regarding the planning board. One being the board wants to ask McKellar and Whitestone for an increase in the levy. That is still to be determined through the budgeting process, but we have a bit of a range to provide to council. Secondly, it'd be a good idea if McKellar appointed a backup to the committee, as the committee's only now, the board's only has 4 members, so quorum will need to be 3 members. So in the event that either Councillor Haskin or Mayor Moore couldn't attend, it should be a good idea that someone else step in. And thirdly, that the council does approve of McKellar staff doing the treasury functions for the board, and in turn that will be slightly less levy than what Whitestone would be paying to compensate for our staff time.
That last one, maybe just expand on that. You talked to Roshan. There was a concern, of course. We're trying to cut costs, of course, and it's something that I think Roshan has done from the 911 committee. It's a lead municipality, and now he's suggesting that he could also handle the for the planning board. So.
Yes, the planning board doesn't have a lot of treasury functions to do.
Okay.
The secretary of treasurer will still be doing the draft budget and whatnot. It'll more just be accounts payable, accounts receivable coming from the township. So between the treasurer and the administrative assistant, they've said that they are more than willing to take on this work, and there shouldn't be any problems. There will be a transition period. It would may be confusing for Whitestone residents paying the township of McKellar their planning board fees, but we're just hoping to have a good line of communication. So once plans are solidified, that we'll be communicating that to both ratepayers of both McKellar and Whitestone.
Any other questions? Councillor Haskin?
Nope, I think that's
it. Okay, Councillor Zula.
Okay, just a report from the library. The CEO has
said that they're going to be doing coming up soon, called serious weeding of the books in the library.
Sorry, censorship?
Serious weeding of the books is going to take place. And they also did an online survey asking the patrons what they are interested in. And a lot of most of the comments were on health and welfare and art. So they're going to maybe set up something. They're going to check with CC Community Support Services as they go out to Whitestone and do different things. And they'll be, once they talk with them and see if they're willing to do any of their programs out here in McKellar, then they would have to talk to the office to see when it would be available, when the community center would be available. So that's one thing. Also, we passed the budget, and so they'll be bringing that forward. They'll be doing, I believe, a deputation. They usually do every year to council on the proposed budget for the library. Also, when you were speaking about the website, the library has a new website. So I didn't know if you knew that. So now they have their own domain, and it is with WordPress. I've never heard. And it's $274, and it's for 3 years. So they're quite happy with that. Also, the community safety plan, the CEO is going to reach out to Rob Morrison to see how the library is affected with the community safety plan, and if there is anything that they can do to post anything in the library, you know, so that residents might know what to expect if there is an emergency.
Is there any seating capacity or any capacity posted now in the room?
I don't think
so. For the library? Okay, that's something he would look at probably.
Yeah, I don't know, but she's going to reach out and talk with him, because I said, I believe it's Chris, is it not, the CBO that's in charge, if there's an emergency, of the community center? I thought it was.
He's the community center coordinator.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So anyway, she's going to reach out to Rob and see if there's anything that the library should know or should be doing, or if they can post anything. And also, they passed a motion that the McKellar Library Board supports McDougall's motion regarding Bill C-15 and would like to ask McKellar Council to support.
Well, that was a question we had before.
Yeah, and you asked me, and I went to them, and I told them, and they said that they would like it if McKellar maybe did a motion to the same effect.
What do we have tonight? Was it Archipelago that supports that?
Yeah.
So, I think certainly that's something to look at.
That's what I said, that they would do it, but they wanted to.
And this changing of the logo, what's going on there? I mean, that bookworm has been around forever.
I know, I love the bookworm. I love the bookworm, but everybody says it's more about... it's not just about books
no,
now.
That's right.
That's, so they want to. And they said that that's just a generic logo, where they'd like to have something more for McKellar itself. Because I was shocked when they said they were wanting to get rid of the worm. Because I like the worm. But, yeah. I think that's it, unless you have any questions. Good?
Oh, good. Any other committee reports? Okay. Item 25, Resolution 26-035, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the consent agenda as presented. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss? Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to question and comment period related to items on the agenda. Anybody in person or online wish to comment? Yes, Mr. Rubin.
Thank you, Mayor Moore. I'd like to ask a couple questions and comments on item 17.2, the tax arrears. Was there information in the councillor's package that wasn't included in the public package? Because I heard references in charts, which weren't part of the package posted on the website.
think it was one and the same. The charts were in the public, were they not?
No, I do believe they were moved. Just there was a lot of public information with roll numbers to specific properties and how much taxes they owed. So that was provided to council and not put on the public's agenda.
Okay, thank you. I support that. Trying to understand from the report, approximately 10% of the total tax base is in arrears. From my understanding of our 5.5 million tax levy, don't know if that's average for a smaller municipality or not. The 410 properties, do we know what percentage that represents in the total number of properties in the township? So 25% of the number of properties representing about 10% of the tax levy.
Yeah, as we say, it's, and I know Councillor Haskam expounded on this too, the system that's set up, it allows them to go for a period of time without paying. It's sort of one of the last payments some of them make, knowing that there's a period that, you know, grace period for them. So it makes it difficult, and some are small figures, some are large figures, so what we're attempting to do is go after the larger ones, certainly, and the ones have been on the books for a number of years. But some of them, I mean, you can't do too much before the two-year period at least.
Yeah, and I support Councillor Ryland's, suggestion around doing many more than six. I'm not sure what the time and commitment is on behalf of the treasurer to do this, but there is a significant amount of money available here for the township to utilize for other services and not necessarily require other taxpaying members of the community who are paying the taxes on time to support people that are not. I understand there's some challenges around timelines, but from the report, there's 81 properties that are in a tax sale position, and because they have not paid taxes for greater than 2 years, and there's 28 properties that are greater than 4 years. I don't know the specifics of the dollar amounts for these 28 properties, but have we put any properties that are in that group into a tax sale position?
Not currently. Last year, council directed the treasurer to six rolls into real tax, and they have opportunities to put payments forward prior to tax sale. So one was just received yesterday, so we only have one property that is getting their final notice for tax sale. All the other properties have paid.
And that's the one out of the six?
Correct. So then we'll assign new roll numbers to real tax this year. And the property tax sale notice period is well over a year.
Okay, thank you for the information. Again, I encourage the treasurer to take as many steps as possible to try and recover monies that are owing to the municipality that can be utilized for the services that they provide. Even though that, may be viewed as being harsh. These people, individuals, have not supported the municipality, and, or others have had to and have paid timely. So, I hope to hear some other additional reports that would indicate that we're doing more than six going forward.
We're hoping to have the treasurer Roshan at a future meeting, and we'll discuss certainly what was suggested, that maybe that number could be increased, and find out why he's just going with that particular number. So certainly if you attend that meeting, then we'll maybe have more information from him.
Thank you. I hope to attend. Oh, and finally, sorry, is there I heard a reference to a meeting on February 6th.
Correct. Notice will be put on the township's website tomorrow. There'll be a budget meeting Friday, February 6th at 2 p.m., and there will be a Zoom link available.
Okay. Again, I think I may have mentioned this in previous years. You know, I would request that council think to hold these budget meetings not during regular business hours to support people that are working and to be able to attend in person and comment in person.
Yeah, I'm thinking well, hopefully the agenda will be posted well before the meeting and people can always send in their comments as well. If they can't actually attend in person. So I think the opportunity is there. We try to have it during the actual day when the staff is here so we don't have to pay extra to have them for overtime. I realize what you're saying, yes, for the repairs, but I think it's just more convenient to, in this particular case, as opposed to say, even an evening meeting sometimes doesn't work for some people, and certainly the weekend for budget discussions usually doesn't work. So I think they're trying to come up with an appropriate time that satisfies those who are interested in attending such a meeting. But we'll do what we can, certainly, to get information out there to people.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. On to 27.1, resolution 26-036. Moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-06, being a bylaw to confirm that the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council this 27th day of January 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to item 28, resolution 26-037. The Council of Zulak, second by Councillor Haskell. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:26
p.m. to meet again on February the 3rd, 2026, for a regular meeting of Council.